Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast. I trust also you will be blessed by the message.
What I've entitled, The Spirit of the Overcomer. We're going to go into part three of The Spirit of the Overcomer. Just look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm not going to be moved. I'm going to be stirred, but not shaken. In Isaiah chapter 54, and starting at verse number 14, Isaiah 54, and there's one of y'all there. Isaiah 54, starting at verse number 14, in righteousness shalt thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that brings forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Amen? All right. I want to read a few more verses here. You know, in order to have power, let's say in a car battery, you have both the positive and the negative. You can't just have the positive without the negative, or you won't have power. You got to have both. What are we saying here? We need our life to have a combination of both positive and negative. We don't need to be negative. I don't mean that. You don't need to become negative, but there's an element of negativity, opposition. You know, the devil is used of God to actually, I'll say, push you closer to God. Amen. After all the complaining is over, you know, after all the blaming is over, after you've felt long enough like God has failed you, and then you come to your senses, it only draws you closer to God. But we go through things. We suffer things. Oftentimes that we would not. If I had my druthers, I wouldn't have gone through that. I wouldn't have done it that way. But God chooses, and he doles out things for our good, because we need a good balance of the positive with the negative. You know, I often say it's not what happens to you that's most important, but it's what you believe about what happens to you. Amen. I said it's what we believe, how we perceive it. You know, not necessarily what happens. All kind of crazy can happen. You know, but God gave us a word in Romans 8, and we're familiar with the verse 28. For we know that all things work together. Okay, and so there are times we have to selah and work on it, because your pride can get hurt. Your feelings can be hurt. You can be disappointed. Someone can do you wrong. Someone can, you know, pull a fast one on you. I think this all the time. When people pull fast ones on me, I say, okay, you pulled it on me once, shame on me. No, I'm sorry, I say it this way. You did it to me once, shame on you. You do it to me twice, shame on me. It ain't happening again. You know, you have to separate yourself from some things. But God teaches us to guard our heart, to guard what we are carrying. Amen. To realize that there's value in not only your personage, but in what you are carrying in the kingdom. And you might not think so, and people may not, you know, celebrate you so, but you have to know for yourself. You have to know for yourself what it is you're carrying. And it's not a matter of arrogance or pride. It's reality. Come on, if you can't stand when the footmen come, how are you going to run with horses? It's a dog-eat-dog world. People don't care. They care about stuff. They care about position. They care about power. They care about influence. They don't care about doing things God's way. They don't care about God. We're talking about God. Their God is money. Their God is favor. Their God is, you know, power. So there's always the positive and the negative. But we have an assurance here from the Lord. He says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It doesn't mean that it may not look like sometime that the enemy's about to pin you. I got any wrestlers out there? Anybody ever wrestle with? When you went to school, high school, middle school, no wrestlers? I'm talking about wrestlers, see, because we're wrestling. See, wrestling has to do with leverage. You know, he could have you could have him. And ain't neither one of you budging. But the first one gets a little leverage. Okay, now you got the advantage. Or if he gets a little leverage on you, he got the advantage. You got to get out of that. So we wrestle. On one of the higher planes, it has to do with words. You got to be able to know how to speak without getting into strife. Amen. Now to guard your heart without getting into strife, without getting into contention, without getting into pride, because the enemy got you then. That's why we need God's wisdom, okay? So there's positive element and there's a negative element. Those two combined are going to equal power working in your life. You know, it's not the loudest person that's the most powerful. They just got the loudest mouth. It's not. There's nothing wrong with that. God gave them good, strong vocal cords. That doesn't equal power. Can you stand against onslaughts? Can you stay true? Can you stay your course? In Job chapter 23, let's build on this. Job chapter 23, Job 23, and verse, we'll start at verse number 10. Well, let me go back a little bit to verse number 8. Job's explaining his dilemma. He's arguing his cause. And in his heart, he knows he hasn't committed any sin against God that he's aware of. He says in verse 8, behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but cannot perceive him. Pause it there for a moment. Anybody ever been there? I go forward and I don't see him. You know, God, now understand, God has promised he'll never leave you and he won't forsake you. He never will. That's the word of God is settled in heaven. That's the reality. But like Job, there are times where you would, if you could feel him, if you could sense him. You know, there are times where you just know his tangible presence is all over you and it's just filling the room. It's like, you know, God is there in a body. And then there are times it seems that he leaves you all alone to deal with a whole bunch of stuff that you don't know how to deal with. This is Job's dilemma. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he does work, but I cannot behold him. He hides himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desires, even that he does. For he performs the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubles me. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. This is Job's testimony. He's going through the trial of his life and for his life. And there's been much loss of life, loss of possession, everything. I mean, it couldn't have gotten any worse with Job. I want to enlighten you on something. I think for the most part, most people have felt anytime there's darkness, it's equated to the presence of evil. And, you know, God is light. But if you search the scriptures closely, you'll find that oftentimes God would come in a cloud of darkness. Somebody say negative?
Negative.
And positive.
Positive.
You need them both to have power. When he came down on the mount, Israel wanted to talk to God himself. He came down in a black cloud. God was in the cloud. But there are many occasions in the scripture, God didn't just come in a white cloud. He came in a black cloud. Darkness, lightnings, thunders. But it was God. This he wants to teach us so we understand that we not only not live by bread alone, but we don't walk by feeling. We don't walk by sight. True discernment. We can discern God. Like Job said, I couldn't find him in the darkness, but yet God was there. Oftentimes we can't see him, or our mind wanders off, and we do foolish things. We get off the pathway rather than standing our ground because it got dark. Well, see, it takes negative and positive. And if God said that he would never leave us nor forsake us, he's not a man that he would lie to us. Sometimes in the midst of that, on your journey or in the pathway, you have to let go of some stuff. Yeah, you have to let go of some religious thinking. You have to let go of some traditional thinking. You have to let go of some mindsets that are limiting you in the pathway. And allow God in that darkness. Okay. When he appeared to Job, he appeared to Job in a whirlwind. Now, wait a minute. It wasn't some nice violins playing and, you know, the sunshine and flowers everywhere. He came in a whirlwind. When he took Elijah up, he took him up in a whirlwind. And Elijah said to Elisha, if you can see me, if you can shield your eyes from this sand that's being kicked up and look into this tornado and see me when I go up, you'll receive a double portion. Come on, there's a place, there's a frequency in the spirit where, you know, we have to really grow up as children of God, especially in this time that we live in.
Thank you for listening. To order today's message or for more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036 or toll free at 1-877-TR-BANKS. Our service times are Sundays, 8:30 a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us in our midweek service, Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. All services are live streamed.